And we missed the... Fuck it, we're still going. The first episode of Pure Teching, blatantly ripping off a Tax song, and obviously using it for the music, and intending to stop it right as soon as he says Pure Teching, but no, I fucking... I thought we were going to talk about Mesmer, but I think we're going to talk about Android. So with me, I'm Morps, obviously. The first live show we've decided specifically is for Galaxy 15 is Pure Teching. And going to try to do this Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll see how the hell that works. I've got Suave, and I've got Lore, and possibly Slothin. Say what?
Yes.
We do have Slothin.
We do have Slothin. Yes. All three of them on the Skypes, and I've got a soundboard here loaded with all kinds of crazy sound effects, so let's just go. So, Lore, you bought an Android phone.
Yes, I did. It's the best damn Android phone you can get.
Because it's R2-D2. I love it!
what model is it?
It's a Droid 2.
Oh, okay. It
looks like R2-D2 and has all the added bonuses because of that.
You know, if I'd been thinking, I would have gotten the R2-D2 sound effects loaded up right there on the board.
Well, I could do that, but I'm in the middle of playing something on my Android phone, so that would be silly.
Fair enough. Wouldn't want to interrupt your Angry Birds.
I'm not playing it. Well, I did download that, but I'm not playing it.
That's
pretty much everybody who ever gets an Android phone always gets Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's free. Like, I have an iOS device because I have the iPod Touch. But you have to pay for the full game over there.
Yeah, I guess that makes me a schmo since I, you know, bought the full thing.
So did I.
You jackasses.
Winning.
It's worth $5. I've gotten my...
Wait, five? What?
What do they charge you?
Like three?
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Close enough.
You know, we all play $40 games very regularly after IHN, and we're quibbling about $2 for a phone game.
Oh, yeah. You know, the whole mobile marketplace out there, it's kind of like a completely different animal, and people don't want to pay lots of money for stuff. I find that's actually generally the case in just about anything on the internet, really. If you can get it for free or cheap, it's going to be way more effective than charging like $40 for it or something.
Well, of course. I mean, what do you think piracy is so popular for?
Yeah. And I'd say that piracy isn't even a problem with the technology. It's a problem with the pricing schemes.
I would argue with you a bit on that. I don't like DRM, if that's what you're meaning. But the whole piracy aspect of it is actually a misunderstanding of what software is on a very fundamental level by marketing people. So, I actually try to stay away from piracy for one very good reason, and that's because that's how they build botnets these days.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, actually, I feel terrible about it now, but I found out, speaking of piracy, back in high school, we all had a copy of Windows 2000 that we were passing around that nobody really knows where it came from. And I found out, about 2 years ago, I pulled out that copy and was throwing it on something. And all of my security software that I run now, because I know what I'm doing, it goes nuts. This copy of Windows 2000 had a keylogger and some other shit in it. And I mean, we've been using this thing for years, right?
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, wait, what? And it's like, oh, God. And it's like, I know I had to have handed that thing to like 12 different people. So it's like, you know, it's like, do I call them? Do I, you know, kind of meek like, guys, I'm really sorry.
Well, I guess it's kind of like if you get tested positive for AIDS or something like that, you got to go call up all your customers and let them know that you're infected.
Winning.
You know, it's the moral thing to do.
Well, I'm hoping nobody's still using that copy.
Yeah.
That's you see that a lot in pirate software, and of course on all the piracy sites, they always bitch about, oh, the antiviruses always pick up our keygens on the heuristics. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, but they also pick them up from all the fucking Trojans that people plant in the things trying to build their botnets. I mean, why do you think all the major cyber attacks come from China and Russia? It's not because China and Russia's government, well, they, their governments do condone it, but it's because that's where the botnets are.
Yeah.
Because everyone's doing priority copies, yeah?
Yep. So, anyways, though, so, were we going to, what were we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Android.
Take us back. Yeah. Okay, we can go on tangents.
No, I've got no structure other than here in about, 15 or so minutes, I'm going to start playing music for 10 minutes and give us a break. But other than that,
yeah,
that's as far as we got for the plan. So,
you know, I was actually talking to a buddy at work who also just recently got an Android device. And we were both talking about there's pretty much anything that we found that we wanted to do on there, we've been able to, plus a whole bunch more. I found that smartphones, I've gone through previous generations of smartphones and stuff like that, but I'd say this current generation here is, I've got nothing that I want, more that I want out of it. You know, like, before there's always like, oh, this doesn't have this feature, it sucks at this, but it does pretty much everything really well at this point, and I'm sure they're going to figure out improvements, but I have zero complaints at this point in time as far as the technology goes.
What? I was going to say, everyone I talked to who's recently got an Android phone has said the same thing. Now, I've talked to a lot of people who got, like, a couple on the last round of Android phones, and they were not happy with them at all.
Oh, okay.
Most of them were underpowered, though, like, not enough CPU.
Well, I've got a Samsung Galaxy for my main device, and that's running Froyo 2.2.
Yeah.
I also have one of those Chinese knockoff Android tablets that's running Android 1.6, and it's a world of difference. Plus, you know, all the power differences and everything like that. But, I'd say anything below 2.1 is not really worth it.
And it's not secure right now either.
Right.
It's not.
But, there's one thing that I've always wanted. And, you know, in, like, sci-fi movies and stuff like that, when, on Iron Man or something, where the guy wakes up and the computer greets him and then tells him the weather and then maybe tells him the news and if he's got any email or anything like that. I actually found an app that does that. There's actually a couple of them out there. The one I'm using is Wake Voice. And it does exactly that. You install your own speech engine and everything on there, so you get it sounding the way you want. And then you can put in your RSS feeds. It'll read you your RSS feeds. You put in your location. It'll give you the weather for your location, stuff like that. So at this point in time, like when I wake up, I don't have music or anything like that. It says, like, you know, good morning, Suave. It is now 4 degrees and snowing, blah, 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 blah. Which I just think is so cool. That's like one of those sci-fi things that you've seen in movies, but you've never really been able to experience it. You know, just with your phone. That's pretty incredible right there.
Well, you know, we still call these things phones, but let's... I mean, I've been carrying some form of pocket PC since 1998, I think. That's when I got my first Palm Pilot.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, anyone who got one of the original, like the Palm 3, way ahead of the curve. I mean, nothing out there... I mean, it was awesome to have it because you had, like, this little pocket computer. But
oh, yeah.
Now it's, you know, way ahead of the curve. And, I had one of the first, I had a smartphone. It wasn't a BlackBerry. I actually went in for a real smartphone. I had one of the early Windows mobile devices.
Yep.
And nothing but problems with it. But, I mean, still, it was like I was walking around with a computer on my hip, which I thought was amazing. Everyone else said I was an idiot. Because go ahead.
Oh. I was just going to say, I totally agree with you there as far as the old computers. I had an old iPac made by Compaq before HP bought them out. And I'd say that was probably one of the best pocket PCs I've had. It was actually running Windows Mobile. It was Windows Mobile PC 2003, I think it was.
Yeah, that's what it would have been because I had a Dell Axum X30, I think, that was running the same thing. And I loved that little thing. I had the little keyboard for it and everything. And, you know, get on IRC chat with a freaking Palm Pilot. Awesome. But,
I think they actually went downhill after 2003.
They did. But they never found a market really beyond nerds.
Right.
So, but, you know, then Apple comes along and brings out an iPhone. And an iPhone is nothing but this Palm Pilot, Pocket PC, same thing we've always done, except they jam the phone in there as well, and it kind of makes phone calls. And so suddenly, because Apple did it, which I still don't really understand how that works, but Apple did it this time, and suddenly, you know, it's the Jesus phone and all this other stuff, and it's like...
They're really good at building an image. You know, when they come out with the phone... They never talk about really like the specs or anything like that. They say it's magical, multi-touch, and it just feels right. You know, it just feels like something that you want to have in your hand. You know, that's the sort of stuff they talk about, and it's really, really good at bringing in people who don't know about technology.
That's true.
And then when Android comes out, they're like, "Hey guys, this has like a 1.5 gigahertz processor and 512 megabytes RAM, and we're all over it because we know that it's actually better than the iPhone." Because it's got better specs, but most people don't care about that stuff.
Well, you know, I've got the iPhone 4, and I'm, you know, here past few weeks, I've not been happy with it. Now, granted, the Android revs that were out at the time I got it were about equivalent to it and cost about the same, so it's like, well, I'll just stick with, because I had the iPhone 3G before it, and, you know, at the time, that really was the best choice, and now, you know, it was borderline between this and the Android. And I'm not sure now. For a while there, I was really sure I had made the right choice, and now it's getting to the point I'm not really sure. One, because the Android phones are getting better, but two, with this last update, oh, God, am I pissed at Apple.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. The phone went from dropping calls every once in a while and me blaming AT&T. One day, I think I had 6 dropped calls.
Oh, crap.
And, like, four of them were
6 calls in a day.
4 of them were for the same person.
Oh, you actually call people. Why would you fucking want to call someone? You can text people.
They call me, but
then it's okay. Because why would you want to talk to anybody?
So I've owned this Galaxy for probably a good couple months now. I've made 2 phone calls on it.
Well, you know, I mean, they really are just, you know, little computers. So
they just and like you said, they just kind of jammed a phone in there. The phone isn't even all that good, but I couldn't care less because I barely use it.
Well, the other thing they did with this last update that pissed me off to no end was it wiped out my contacts.
Oh,
my phone book gone. Now here's the weird shit. The ones I had tagged as favorites were still in there, but it didn't know who they belonged to, but it had the phone numbers. So I was at least able to get my important phone numbers back, and then I went through my text message history and got most of the rest of the ones that mattered. I probably needed to clean them out anyways, but that's not the point.
Before I transferred over to Verizon, because I'm on Verizon now, I was on AT&T, but I didn't have a easy means to get all my contacts in, so I just threw them up into Google, and you know, it's an Android phone, and they just have all my phone numbers now.
Yeah,
just easy, no problem. It's awesome.
Yeah, I need to look at doing that. It was just, oh, I was mad, and like I said, the most of the numbers I cared about were still in the phone,
right.
But they weren't tied to a contact anymore. So I was doing the whole calling a number. Hello, oh hi, okay, great, analog. What's up, man? Well, what do you want? Nothing. I'm just making sure this is your phone number. Huh? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I
got to say that there really isn't much difference between the iPhone or Android device. It's really the only big difference is there's no memory card in the iPhone. That's about it.
And battery. You can replace your battery. You can get bigger memory cards if you want. You can swap out memory cards. I don't know. I kind of like the App Store better on iOS and the
iPhones
because it sorts better, I guess. But I think you have a lot more options though.
That's been one big complaint for the Android marketplace is that Drupal is not very good for browsing apps. But on the plus side, you can use third party marketplaces. Like you go to AppBrain. And you just browse through that like any other web page. You can sort through it by any way you want. It's got a great search and everything. And then if you're on your computer, it's got QR codes. So you just pull up the QR code, throw that on your phone, and it downloads it right away. So it's nice to have the option to use something else if you don't like the default.
So with the Android phone, too, you don't even have to have an app store. You can just go on somebody's website and pull down your app, unlike the iPhone.
Yeah.
Which I tell you, if the next update isn't amazing, I'm going to roll it back down to the last version that worked, and then jailbreak it because I'm not happy with it at the moment. I'll tell you.
Oh yeah.
Well, it wiped out my contacts, so that still got me kind of pissed.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a pretty big deal. Oh well. It happens.
So is this where you found Wakeboy? Or what did you say it was?
Hold on. Wake Voice.
Wake
that's,
Voice.
That's a paid version. There's a free version out there. I couldn't get the weather working on it. But,
He just threw into the chat, appbrain.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's by far my favorite app store right now for Android. And most of the time, it actually just links back to the marketplace when you go to download it, so it's...
Yeah, because I see Wake Voice in the regular Android market.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much everything you see on AppBrain is going to be in the regular market as well.
$2.82, it says here.
Yeah.
Weird.
Okay, Slothan, what phone are you using? You're the only one who hasn't told us.
Oh, I just have a texty phone. I don't like the idea of putting my phone in my pocket computer.
You want two separate things?
Yeah.
So what pocket computer are you carrying, then?
Oh, it's just an iPod, but I don't have music on it. It's just there for the
apps. A touch?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I have a texting phone. It's just a foldy. The one trick my phone does is that it opens in two directions.
It's got a nice keyboard, too. I've used it. Like, there are a couple of drawbacks on it, but it's pretty decent.
Well, that's... You know, I know several people who've done that, and actually specifically did that primarily because they didn't want to pay for a data plan. And, you know, you just go around and grab Wi-Fi. And it's pretty easy to justify if, you know, they've got Wi-Fi where you work and you got Wi-Fi at home. Pretty much the only place you won't have internet access is your car, and you could argue you should be driving instead of messing with your phone. I don't know why everyone thinks that, though. I mean, I enjoy driving on the sidewalks. Don't you, Swolf? I mean, I'm looking at my phone. Fuck the road. Somebody's in my way. They can move.
Another gripe I have with it is that until battery technology catches up with the other technology, I really want something that I'm on constantly to be separate from something I get on occasionally. Like,
so it doesn't suck all the battery out?
Exactly.
Yeah,
well,
I would charge my phone every day.
You know, I was under the exact same viewpoint. I had my Nokia N8010 for my pocket PC. I had some random MP3 player that had a great battery life of like 35 hours, and then I had a regular dumb phone. And I wanted it like that because I wanted the long battery life on my MP3 player, and you know, I didn't want, like, if my phone broke down, I didn't want to lose my pocket PC and vice versa. But, you know, when I switched over to this Galaxy, I was planning on not using it for an MP3 player or anything like that, just using it for the smartphone capabilities. But the music player on it was so good, and the battery lasts long enough to get me through a day at work that I find I'm actually not using any other devices now that I've got that.
What music player are you using on it? Just the...
For music I just use the default one. It's actually mostly audiobooks that I use, and
okay. That's not too bad then, because you know with music stuff you sometimes want different features.
Yeah, well, there's a program called Audiobook Player 2 that's great for audiobooks. It remembers your position. Also, it's got a sleep feature, so if the phone isn't moved at all for a period of time, it'll beep at you, and you have to move the phone. If you don't move the phone, it'll just pause the play. And so it's great if you're, you know, listening to it while you go to bed or something like that, that you can set it to turn itself off after 10 minutes of no feedback.
You can use that with podcasts, too.
You could. Yeah, Swab will be talking about audiobook series later so that we might fill out some of the station schedules. Some of that.
Yeah, okay.
But
it was relevant. It was
about an app. I think at one point when we were talking about the design of the show, if there was like a smartphone in the room when what we were discussing happened, it's close enough. Because yeah. I have no expectation of being able to do an hour show twice a week and talk purely about relevant things.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't think we're relevant at all right now. I'm pretty sure we're calling the show Pure Decking, and I was really planning on opening up talking about Metasploit and popping boxes and some of the stuff I've been playing around with here lately, but this is fun too, so.
Well, if you think about it, the phone area and everything is where we're all heading. I think everything's starting to converge into these portable little computers that we all have.
And absolutely.
Like hi-fi went away when we had MP3s. I think this whole giant visual screen stuff is probably going to go away too.
Well, it's not going to go away. It'll become a tool. Just stuff like you only see in businesses. Like, go ahead, Sof.
What you're going to see, and I am making this prediction right now, is they're going to have their smartphone. And give it another generation or two, and it's basically going to be as powerful as our home PCs are today.
Right.
And you're going to bring it home, you're going to plug it into your docking station that's hooked up to a keyboard and a mouse and a monitor, and that's actually going to be your PC. And
What's it called?
Atrix.
It sucks. They didn't do it very well, but that's where everything's going to be going. And you shouldn't have to go buy a specific monitor and dock and everything like that for it. It should just plug into any monitor or keyboard. Whenever they go to down the proprietary road, it very rarely works, unless you're Apple, of course. I'm pretty sure that's where it's going to go. And even then, it can get shrunk down a lot more. Like, they're coming out now with some great Pico projectors and some really great, laser-projected keyboards and stuff like that. So you can literally have something that's maybe the size of the phone again that has the projector and the keyboard in it automatically. You just set that on your desk and away you go.
Well, I like the idea of the docking station, sort of like the old laptop docks where it was just a little... Yeah. Thing you would set the laptop in, and it had all the ports on the back of it.
Exactly. Yeah,
I do like that concept. I would like to see that explored because actually, a lot of the phones that are coming out now are as powerful as PCs were about 6 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Some are running dual core phones out. So,
and these processors are running the megahertz isn't necessarily a good measurement of how well the device runs.
Well, no, because go ahead.
Well, if you're running an iOS or an Android system, right off the bat there, you gain a whole whack of processing power because you're not wasting it all on Windows or anything like that. And, they're just highly optimized devices.
Well, there's that. But they're also running on a different architecture. From a security standpoint, I hate security now, but he does do a good job of talking about general technology. I don't remember when it was, but when he did a show talking about architecture, he was pretty much dead on talking about how x86 has been dragging forward instruction sets from, the 286 at this point.
Yeah.
And, the modern chips have to have everything in there to support that. That's why, if you really want to, you could pull up and install, DOS, 4 and Windows 3.1 on modern hardware. I don't know how usable it would be, but you could do it.
Yeah.
And that's purely because the chipsets are compatible all the way back, and they have to do that because they don't know what instruction sets are being used and which ones aren't.
Right.
And this actually leads to a lot of security problems because, we had some malware a couple years back called Red Pill, and that was taking advantage of the hardware virtualization in chips to actually virtualize the user and drop in a completely different layer zero, or ring zero in the processor, which was totally, owned.
Right.
So having all this shit in the chips makes it really possible for bad things to happen because nobody knows what's in there. And the big advantage to the ARMs is that they've really brought it back to a simplified instruction set, which means it's harder to program for, but you just wrap that up in libraries anyways with modern languages. So, it's a little harder to program for, but if they're that much faster and that much more efficient, does it matter?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
No, I definitely agree with you that the 86 architectures shouldn't be continued for much longer. I know it's not really going to be feasible to completely drop it at this point just because there's so many... Exactly.
I do think you're going to see it start moving to where people at home, they might have the docking station you were talking about, and I like the idea, but I honestly see more people going for something like they might have a station, a little box that they stick on their TV, and then they have a tablet, and then they've got their smartphone. And for a lot of people, that'll be enough because they can get on their Facebook, they can watch their movies, they can listen to their books. So instead of that docking station, they'll have something they plug into their home entertainment center, and the home PC will kind of go away. And you'll see setups like that to be more of a business tool thing where And even then, it'll be more for people doing things like actually programming and designing and website development. And you'll see more and more people doing their personal blogging, Facebook, that kind of shit, on tablets and pads and smartphones.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely agree with you there. And you know, like, the way computing power is going right now, it's so cheap to put a computer in anything now. They could very easily just have an embedded computer in every TV and an embedded computer in just about everything. They've got them in in fridges by now. You might just see that where you're not just having to bring your one device anywhere with you. It's just everything's going to be up in the cloud. You can wirelessly stream anything from one device to the other, and it's all just going to be interconnected.
A lot of people would love that because then they don't have to think about it. That scares the shit out of me. But,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you're already starting to see stuff like that. Like Dropbox is a great example. I use that all the time because, you install it on your Android device, you've got it on your home computer, you've got it on your work computer, and if there's a file that you want to bring home or you want to put on your phone or anything like that, you just drop it in, and there it is, which is just excellent.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're about halfway mark, and I do want to take a quick break, so I'm going to actually mute you guys on Skype so we don't have any background noise, and I'm going to turn off my own microphone. And I'm going to throw music on for about, 10, 13 minutes, something like that, I don't know, whatever. And we'll come back from there.
Sounds good.
So, and looks like Laura's going to drop out, so we might ambush somebody else onto the stream.
All right.
Well, Laura Slothan, thanks, guys. We'll see you all later.
All right.
And we'll be back after I play this for a bit and probably talk about Metasploit.
All right.
See ya.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back. seem to have an audience of two.
Okay, and we're back on. The call should be unmuted. Say something, make sure it's working.
Is it working? Yeah, is it working?
I hear
something to make sure it's...
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it's working.
Okay. Oh, this is the first show. Why do you ask? We've only done 100 IHNs, and I'm still trying to figure this shit out.
Yep.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
We're on it right now. Heavy.
Yep.
We shanghaied Heavy, dragged him into the call, kicking and screaming.
Oh, no! Okay, phones...
Yeah, we've been talking about phones, mostly Android, for, past half hour.
Okay. Yeah, you know, actually, I've been playing around. I had my Froyo update pretty recently on my Galaxy S phone. You know, just in time for the new shit to come out. I'm liking it pretty good. They delayed the update. Apparently, they had to make some patches to it. But it's actually, I like it. I like a lot of the improvements to it. The UI is nicer. I think we're getting less choice soon, which is bad for carrier-wise. So that's going to suck.
Yeah, AT&T and T-Mobile there.
I've got a pretty big complaint about... the way the mobile ecosystem is set up right now with all these different carriers, they all get their phones from the manufacturers and then they customize the hell out of them, put in all this bloatware and crap like that that nobody wants. And because of this, whenever an update comes out, you can no longer just get it right from Google. You've got to get it from your phone carrier because, you know, they've got all this special crap in there.
Well, a lot of laptop makers have been trying to do that for years, not that they've been having a lot of success.
I just hate that. And
apparently, Sprint is going with a thing called an ID system. Mm-hmm. Where what they're going to do is instead of allowing the carrier to put their own UI on the phones, they're going to get the base OS, and then you can choose to do one of these like ID packs or whatever, upgrade the skin if you want to.
Do I sound real quiet to you guys? Because I'm watching the meters, and you're louder than I am.
You're coming through fine.
Okay. I'm going to trust what you guys say. Go ahead.
Skype is auto leveling, so you know you might be on your end.
Who knows?
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, so I agree with you guys. I think that all of this, you know, like fragmented stuff is fine. It is a pain in the butt. Where I think this is going to go, though, is eventually people are going to get the UI is going to get to the point where it's so smooth that nobody's going to have to touch it. So that'll be good. Yeah. Spectrum is an issue, and I know that's probably why T-Mobile's getting bought, because it just has a shit ton of spectrum covering the entire U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it seems like we should go with the UK model, which is, you know, you can build your infrastructure out, but anybody else can lease your spectrum and sell their own service. Yeah. And I think that's the way we should do it, you know?
We've got that method up here in Canada for the most part. Everybody's got roaming agreements. It's not perfect.
Go ahead, Slothan. I thought he was trying to say something.
Nope.
Nope. Okay, I'm going crazy. Not that we didn't know this already. Sorry, Suave, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that, like, up here in Canada, pretty much any carrier can use any other carrier's infrastructure and just pay them fees to use it. And that's great, because that means you've got a lot more selection on your carrier. But it's not perfect. Like, for example, here in Saskatchewan, the provincial carrier, SaskTel, they basically own all the towers. And anybody else can use them, so I can go get, like, a T-Mobile account and use my phone down where I live, but T-Mobile can't give me a phone number for this location because SaskTel has all those phone numbers. So even though they can use the other towers, it's still somewhat limited because you can't use a local phone number.
Huh.
And that comes down to the big standard. And I think we actually are going to get LTE as the standard this time around, which would be nice. And the reason why is LTE is going to be able to handle VoIP. Although, did you guys hear about what Sprint and Google are doing? Apparently, you can use Google Voice without having to put your number over to it.
Oh,
so,
really? Nice.
Yep. Yeah.
That is pretty nice.
Maybe that's why AT&T bought T-Mobile. Sprint scared the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Although, I tell you, speaking of AT&T, just to get off phones for a little... Well, I guess this would apply to phones as well. AT&T recently turned on bandwidth caps, or they're going to. I had AT&T DSL for about a year and a half. When I first moved to where I live now... AT&T was the only ISP I could get. Now, I recently double-checked on that, primarily because AT&T was turning on their bandwidth caps. Now, the truth of the matter is, I did the math. The way I use the network, I would probably have never hit that 150-gig cap they were getting ready to put on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen what happens with those caps, and I didn't want to risk being like, are you, and running out of my cap, you know, 2 weeks into the month.
Yeah. Well, they're using just the tip methodology where nobody really cares. It's 150 gigs. Nobody's going to use that. It's just going to be the tip. Don't worry. I'm just going to put the tip in. No. So it's going to be 150 now.
Hey, now. You're giving away the secret, man. You don't give away the secret. That's how you get. Right. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, but like so next year, what is it going to be? 125? Because that cap's never going to go up.
Yeah, that's
because there'll never be an incentive for them to increase that cap. So as the internet becomes more bandwidth hungry, you're going to be able to do less things on your service.
What?
And it's just going to keep going and going and going until you end up with the Australian situation where you have a 6-gig cap.
Well, I mean, that's why I double-checked on to see if I could get cable internet at my house now, and I could, and obviously I've switched over to it since we're going to run a radio station full-time. But... you know, I don't think I could have ran G15 on the DSL. I could have tried, but it would have been a lot harder. But I don't want to deal with bandwidth cap. Now, I really don't think with the speeds I was getting anyways, I probably could have left BitTorrents going 24/7 and never hit the cap, not because I wasn't trying, but because the connection's physically not capable of saturating that much in the given amount of time. But that's not what worried me. Because what worried me is the only reason to put something like you can move 150 gigs a month, there is no technical reason for that kind of a cap. If you change your entire billing structure, there is an argument for that kind of thing. But from purely the way things are set up now, there is no reason at all to put that kind of a cap on there because the way the internet works, yes, there are, in fact, a finite number of bits that can be moved from point A to point B in a given period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your... But it's not like, well, I moved 10 bits yesterday, so there's now 10 bits I can't move today. It doesn't work that way. It's more of how many bits are being moved at once. In other words, if my pipe was capable of handling 4 megabits a second, for example, and I was only using 2 of it, well, okay, in the future, like tomorrow, that 2 megabits I wasn't using, that 2 megabits doesn't exist anymore. It's not like I get to keep that. It's not like rollover minutes, which is actually kind of an argument.
We're also dealing with a legacy technology, and I think in wireless, we're dealing with legacy technology, which is GSM and CDMA. That's frequency bandwidth that we can use for data, and then voice over IP. And then same thing for legacy television. Once we turn that shit off and we go right to direct IP, we're going to free up a huge amount of bandwidth.
Well,
plus,
sure,
you know,
my point is, though, that... Okay, the bits I didn't use yesterday don't get saved somewhere. There's not this mass conspiracy of the Men in Black saving the bits you don't use. I mean,
right,
you know, if you don't use them, they're gone. That's it's a connection. It's a pipe. It's not this...
It's just a matter of limitation on what are you doing right now.
Sure.
I have a way that would, I suppose, get this across better. It's a parking space.
Yeah, if nobody's parked in it, it's not, you know, it's wasted. But
yeah,
that's a very good analogy.
If you wanted to change the pricing structure so that, say, if 90% of the parking spaces are used, that means there's more demand on parking spaces right now, you could increase the price on, say, the bits being used in heavy times and decrease it on times in light times to get more people to use it. Then that would make sense, but not to just put a flat, you can use so many, you can park in this space... 93 times this week.
Yeah.
well, and let's face it, as of right now, they're not running out of bandwidth or anything like that.
No, they wouldn't put the cap at where they did if they were. This is a way for them to, instead of upgrading their infrastructure in the future, this is a way for them to simply lower the cap. And honestly, this is the same scheme we've seen all the wireless carriers use. They put an arbitrary cap in place on usage, so when you go over that, they can bill you more.
Go ahead with your text messaging. Go ahead and talk about, there's an actual cost that I saw associated with wireless internet.
Oh yeah, but I was just going to say, text messaging is a perfect example. Like, let's say, okay, it probably cost you, what, 10 cents a text message or something like that? It costs, this is just a couple bits of information. Like, it's nothing to send that through the system. It probably costs them like 0.002 cents to send a text message through their network. But they're charging you something like 2,000% of what it costs them just because they can.
Well, I think with smartphones and data plans, you're going to see text messaging just go away. The reason text messaging is still around is because there's still enough legacy devices out there that use it, enough feature phones, and enough people still look for that in a plan. Whereas if you have a data plan, I mean, fuck text messaging, using this to Messenger.
and in Europe, I think they charge you like a euro. It's like a token monthly fee to do unlimited texting. They just give it to you. But getting back to the wireless thing, it's the industry mobile technology conference, and I'm forgetting the name of it. But anyway, they were talking about the guy from Clearwire was talking about 5 gig a month is what they can handle right now, and they said that they could get up to 7 gig a month. Or no, it was 3 right now, 5 in the future, and then when they get the LTE out, they said they could get up to like 7 to 9, where they're still profitable with the cost of the bandwidth. So, you know, and that's fine. I mean, if you're going to tie it directly to your income, I can understand that, you know.
I can't.
I don't like that concept just on a personal level. But
the way I see it, like, let's say they never upgrade their bandwidth ever again. So what they have available is what's going to be available in 20 years. Well, let's say down the road we start, you're going to end up hitting peak times. We're certain times of the day. Everybody's online. They're using, let's say, all of the bandwidth that's available. Well, what you do in a situation like that, you don't put caps on individual people. You just slow everybody's connection down a little bit. So it's...
discourages use, yeah.
Yeah, and that way during peak times, it's not so an issue.
Well, you know, there is a serious conversation to be had here regarding bandwidth caps. Now, if they weren't billing based on speed, like, if they came in and said, okay, here's your new data connection plan, you're connected to our network, we're going to meter your connection, and we're going to bill it like water or electricity, and for every megabyte you use, it's going to cost you half a penny. I don't know. I'm picking a number out of my ass. But if they did it like that, I wouldn't really have a problem with it, because it's fair.
As long as it's a reasonable price.
Well,
they're not marking it up by 2,000%.
like text messaging. But I'm saying, though, if they build it that way from the beginning, I wouldn't have that big a problem with it. But the problem is what they've done is, to keep with the water pipe analogy, is they've billed you for the amount of water you could possibly move at once, as in the size of the pipe, as opposed to how much water you use. And now they're trying to move to this how much you use, but they haven't completely nixed the old model, and everyone's used to the old way of doing it.
Yeah.
So. Well, I kind of like the limitation not necessarily usage. I mean, but I like the idea of buying usage and then just being able to buy extra as I need it, but with the, like, a little pop-up that says, hey, you've hit your limitation, you know, do you want to buy more? But I also like the idea of the trickle. So basically dropping you down to, like, dial-up so you can at least get your email or at least go online to their website.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be happy about that, but I could live with something like that. Although, well, you know, to get to – we're all going to eventually agree that we don't like it. But to get to a more serious matter, eventually there is going to come a time where we have saturated the connections. We have hit roughly the speed that you're going to get out of silicon, you know, at about 3 gigahertz, give or take, depending on cooling and overclocking. But that's why they started doing multi-core chips, and now we're getting up to 6 and 8-way chips. Mm-hmm. Because they can't get these things running any faster in single core. So you got to think at some point we're going to hit a limit on how fast we can make our connections, and it's not going to be able to infinitely grow the way it has been.
With silicon technology.
There's theoretical science that they've tested, and I think, you know, that's going to be another 20 years out.
Oh, well, sure. I'm just saying, hypothetically, the idea is going to hit at some point. There is a finite amount of bandwidth. Admittedly, there's so much of it based on what we actually use, it might as well be infinite. But there is actually a finite amount of bits that can be moved across the internet at any one given time with what the current tech is, and at some point, we're going to hit a speed cap. Whether it's I'm not even talking about they don't want to upgrade the infrastructure. I mean, like, the best technology available at the time without moving into sci-fi and lasers and shit. I mean, reasonable, actual, manageable tech.
And we'll probably see it sooner than you think, too, just because with all these people switching over to video over IP, like canceling their cable and going to Netflix and stuff like that, that's a massive amount of bandwidth that's being used. Last time I heard, I think it's something like 40% of all the bandwidth in Canada is from Netflix.
Well, it's
40% of all of the data going through the internet.
There's an even easier measure than that. How long did they originally think IPv4 was going to last?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they thought that thing was going to make it to 2050, amount of address space, when they originally did it. I'm not talking about 10 years ago. I'm talking about back in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. They thought,
hey, I'm ready for I'm ready for IPv6. I've got my DOCSIS 3 modem sitting right here. You know, they just need to flip the switch.
But here's the thing. Everybody's saying the same thing about IPv6. It's like, oh, man, there's so many addresses. We'll never need all those. Well, think about this. Every mobile phone right now has an IPv4 address. Mm-hmm. I'm probably using 4. With my main machines, okay?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's one person.
And it's only going to get worse when you start getting all these embedded computers and everything. Your car's going to have an IP address, your, like, fridge is going to have an IP address, your TV's going to have one, your fucking vacuum cleaner's going to have one.
And the idea of NAT is just going to go away because it's like, well, what do we need that for? Because it's a nice firewall, but that's not the point. That whole idea is just going to go away because it's like, well, we don't need that anymore. But if you get thinking about it, too, there are 6 billion people, or 7 billion people, roughly, on the planet right now. Maybe 1.5 to 2 billion of them are on the internet, and we ran out of IPv4. Oops.
Yeah.
Think IPv6 is going to make it that much longer? Because right now they're doing the same thing. People are giving away entire Class B, saying, oh, we've got so many, you're never going to need all of them. Bullshit.
Well, but think about this, too, as another allegory. We've got CB and ham and all this extra bandwidth that we're basically sitting on doing nothing.
CB and ham are not doing nothing, sir.
Yeah. I saw they were actually talking about selling off that frequency, and that really pissed me off. There's not a lot of ham radio operators out there, but they are the only people who are going to be able to communicate with the rest of the world in the event of a major disaster.
Yes, in case of zombie apocalypse, have a ham radio. We
absolutely.
Guys, we are coming up on time.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, all right,
well, everybody should get their ham radio operator's license, and they should never sell off that spectrum.
I'd like to be able to get an app for these smartphones that let you change the frequency. I know it's hardware in the chip, but it would be awesome if you could just flip that cell phone over to being on ham or shortwave.
Yeah, I bet you anything, it wouldn't be too difficult to get... you know, like a dock or some sort of dongle that you plug into the bottom of your device that actually lets you hook into ham frequency.
I just want all of the frequency to be available, and then you create like an IP based network just for the wireless, and have it set up so that you can be a node on the network just by having a retransmitter.
Mesh networking.
Yeah,
well, that technology is actually already out there. A lot of cities are using it for emergency services. You see them up on poles and stuff. They basically look like oversized routers with four antennas. So that's there, and we'll have to save that. And we never did get to Metasploit or Hackintoshing or about one of another couple of handful of topics we talked about beforehand.
That means we've got more episodes in the
Dude, Heavy, I'm wanting to do a show twice a week. You know, for an hour with a little 10-minute break. Not running out of topics is a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
We're calling this show pure decking. I kind of wanted to open with some of the more hackish stuff, but that's okay. So, but that's definitely time. So, real quick, information or critical stop?
Critical stop.
Critical stop. All right.
Yep.
And we are out.
Let's dance. Oh, fuck.
Winning.
Oh, fuck.